This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. From Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist, here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All right, we are back with Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. Actually, we just started.
Oh, that's true. We were back from last week.
Last week. That's what I meant. You caught on.
You made it sound like we were back from our five-minute break.
I did.
I'll tell you, Mom. So, if you have a question, I have answers. Maybe some are right and some are wrong. I don't know.
It don't matter.
No, it doesn't matter. You won't listen to me anyway. But I want to thank you for listening. And this is a show about information, landscape ideas, what's good to grow, what's not good to grow, all those kind of things. And if you do have a question, you can call 673-4464 and ask the question. And it doesn't matter what I'm talking about when you call. I'll just break off that part and go right to your call, and we'll fix you up.
Speaking of which, what do you think about the frost advisory?
Well, I don't think much of it, quite honestly. And I think that that might be... In my estimation, that might be a premature frost advisory. I don't know where they get that information, but
we got to keep it above board here.
I don't see it happening. But
okay,
you know, I was wrong once in 1974.
Four?
Yeah. So you never know.
It's about your turn to be wrong again.
I think so. It comes around every once in a while. Well, today I'm going to speak about something I know very little about. This ought to be an enlightening show.
All right.
I'm going to speak about orchids. And I did some research on orchids. They're quite an interesting plant. They're very beautiful. The flowers are gorgeous. And I was amazed. I think in my research I found out that there were somewhere around 30,000 varieties or something like that.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, how in the world could that be? But, you know, it was out of an orchid book, so I thought, well,
it's got to be the truth.
Oh, excuse me. I made a mistake. There's 3,000 species. I'm sorry.
3,000?
3,000. Well, that's better than 30,000.
What's adding a zero anyway?
Yeah, in my mind, I added the zero. Unbeknownst to my brain, so
I do that all the time.
I know. But orchids, you know, you see them in the stores, you know, not only at nurseries, but you see them in grocery stores. They'll have a pack of them, like in Dollar General. I know in Winston, mm-hmm. Walk in, and they always got orchids in there. I'm thinking, why do they sell orchids? Who knows? But and then, you know, of course, Lowe's and all the rest of the box stores have them, and so they're quite a popular flower. Mm-hmm. But I learned, and I'll tell you about it in a little bit. I learned the hard way how to kill them, and you know, thinking I was doing something good. but they're a very interesting and beautiful plant, and. And like I say, I learned about them through trial and error, but mostly from error. Mm. But I corrected those errors after a while. Years ago, I was down in Medford getting a load of plants or something like that, I forget. Yeah. And I stopped in at this, Harry and David has a plant shop at that last Medford exit. And I thought, well, it was kind of brand new at the time, so I stopped in there and looked around, and they had this beautiful display of orchids. And I thought, oh, I'll bet my wife would like one of these.
Yeah.
So I forget what, you know, it's like $19.95 for this dinky little plant. So I thought, well, I'll buy it anyway. That's okay. She'll love it.
She's worth it.
Yeah, she's worth it. And she loved it. And so it sat in a window that faces south. But since I live in a very hilly area, it doesn't get a whole lot of sun, even though it's a south-facing window. But it gets about half a day sunshine. So I thought that would be pretty good for it.
Yeah.
And it did pretty well. I thought that I was watering it properly.
Uh-oh.
And I watered it, you know, kind of frequently, I guess, because it was indoors. And I thought, well, a flower like that probably needs, you know, a little, you know, not often. You
probably
know,
maybe, dries out.
Yeah. Right, and it was a small pot, too, so small pots, you know, can't hold that much water, and there's a lot of roots in there. So I think I watered about once a week or somewhere along those lines. And it was doing well for a while. But it was, like I say, a very small pot. And about a month went by, mm-hmm. and some of the leaves started to brown up.
Uh-oh.
And I thought, that's interesting. I wonder why. And then they started to fall off.
Oh, that's even worse.
And I thought, well, I'll spruce it up. It needs some fertilizer, right? Worst thing I could have done. So I added a little liquid fertilizer to spruce it up.
Yeah.
Well, that hastened the leaf drop, and soon there were no leaves.
Oh,
none whatsoever. I had killed it in about 2 months.
Oh, geez.
You know, it was like bare stems, you know, just it was about, we'll say, 12, 14 inches tall in the pot. It was a little one. And I thought, how in the world did I kill that plant in 2 months? You know, I own a nursery. I grow thousands and thousands of plants.
Yeah, right.
And I killed this one. So right away I had to blame it on the nursery that sold it to me.
Of course.
Yeah, they sold me a bad one. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, not really. But anyway, my wife said, well, way to go.
Yeah.
I said, well, okay. So anyway, somehow we just forgot about it, and we left it in its spot by the window.
Oh, okay.
And just left it there and forgot about it. No water, no care, no kind words, no fertilizer, nothing. Well, several weeks later, maybe about 3 weeks, 4 weeks later, I happened to glance at it, and lo and behold, I saw these little tiny buds on the stem.
Oh,
and I thought, what
wow.
the heck? I mean, a little bumps
yeah.
along the stem. And in 2 more weeks, new leaves began to appear. And I was very impressed. I thought, geez, I haven't watered it in a month, and it's growing. What's going on? Well, that orchid said to me, you can't kill me. Just leave me alone. Okay. All right. And an orchid that speaks is a real rarity.
Mm-hmm. Worth a lot of money.
No, yeah. Now, after 10 years, that was about 10 years ago, it has grown into a beautiful indoor plant that seems to bloom almost all year.
Nice.
Yeah, and needless to say, I learned that, it doesn't grow well because of me. It grows well in spite of me.
Yeah.
And I thought, I overwatered that sucker, and I overfertilized that sucker, and I'm thinking, I'm not going to do that anymore. So now we seldom water it. And almost never fertilized it. I can't remember the last time I might have fertilized it. And I was thinking I might even repot it to a larger container one of these days. And, you know, because it's growing. And it's been in bloom. Oh, gosh, it's been in bloom this year for at least 5 months.
Wow.
6 months.
Cool.
Yeah. I mean, and it's just one bloom. It's got about, a half a dozen big violet purple blooms on it. Just a real hot thing. So when that recuperated, I went ahead and bought another one, put it on the other end. It's kind of a window seat thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a white one. So, and I didn't do anything to the white one, and it's been perfect all the time. It's been there. So I was trying to learn about orchids, and I did.
So they're not that hard to...
No. Yeah. The worst thing you can do is care for them. But I thought, well, I'll do some research on orchids and try to learn more before I get any to sell or grow. We have them occasionally in the nursery around Mother's Day or Valentine's Day. You know, we buy maybe half a dozen in, and for those two occasions, and they sell well. But
do you tell them don't?
Don't touch it. Don't look at it. Don't talk to it. Don't water it. Don't fertilize it.
Leave
it alone. So what I found out is that orchids are tough. They are really tough. They don't look tough. They look like, there's something
delicate.
Yeah, very delicate, and those flowers are just so beautiful and everything else. But they're grown all over the world, out in the wild, not just in greenhouses. In fact, they do worse in a greenhouse than they do out in the wild.
Is that right?
Yeah. And like I said, there's like 3,000 varieties of these puppies. And so...
Probably even China.
Yeah, well, they are. I think there's some in China. I wouldn't get one, but they're in there. But the family of orchids is huge. I made a mistake.
Getting
there.
Ahead of yourself?
Yeah, no, I said, let's see, on that first page, what did I have, 3,000 varieties or something like
right.
that? No, I was wrong. There are 20 in the family of orchids, really huge. There are 25,000 wild species.
Oh, so there's where you got the...
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
And that's the largest family of all the flowers in the world. I mean, you know, there's so many different types of, say, petunias or marigolds and, you know, whatever. But there's 25,000 wild species, and they grow all over the world.
Kind of like a weed.
Yeah, yeah. And here's the thing I didn't get when I was doing my research. You know, here I was watering. It was in a pot and all that. But they grow in swamps.
Oh.
I'm thinking, we're in swamps, for crying out loud. They grow in deserts. They grow in deep shade, and they grow in full hot sun.
Boy, they're adaptable.
Yeah, yeah. And I thought, man, I don't know what I did to that poor thing, but if they grow in a swamp, I apparently didn't get a swamp variety. Their range is from sea level to, and they're found up about 14,000 feet in the Himalaya Mountains.
Wow. What?
Yeah, yeah. And
it's amazing range.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, their range is, like I say, sea level to 14,000.
In a swamp?
Yeah, and as far north as the Arctic Circle. Uh-huh. And so, you know, all this stuff, all this information is blowing me away. And I'm thinking,
Yeah.
And the vast majority of them that grow, not in the ground, but on the sides of trees in tropical forest in the South American Andes in the Himalaya Mountains.
Kind of a parasite.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. And some of them even grow in the tops of trees with the roots exposed. And they catch moisture and nutrition. I don't know how they catch nutrition or nutrients from the air, but they do, according to the book I was reading. And this is this is the book right here.
Oh, it's, that's what they look like.
Yeah, and you never saw a picture of them? Well, shoot,
I
man, they're all weird. Look at those things.
Different shapes,
different colors, outrageous colors. Look at that. It looks like a
praying
bird.
Mantis.
A praying mantis. Yeah, right. Look at that one. Too bad you guys can't see this. These are cool.
Reminds me of someone I used to know.
Oh, yeah? We used to know an orchid?
No, I'm up.
Well, I was just wondering, you know. But
the mother of my children.
I see. So, you know, and I'm thinking if their range is from the tropics to the snow at 14,000 feet, how in the heck did I kill that puppy? But and I guess, well, the wild species, of course, are a lot tougher, and they're adaptable, and they have adapted to their particular climate in which they grow. And these that we buy, of course, are grown in greenhouses under the most ideal conditions. But
kind of pansies.
Yeah. Even in a greenhouse, though, they need a lot of air circulation, and the greenhouse, with the air circulation, that means there's less dampness in the air, because for some reason what we grow commercially doesn't like the dampness in the air and doesn't like a soggy soil inside of a greenhouse. Whereas in a where they grow naturally, it's, you know, obviously very good drainage, so you can water, they can get watered or rained on real heavily, but it drains away from the root system very quickly, so you're good to go.
They get the nutrition and done with you.
Yeah, and I've never seen an orchid growing in a desert, and I've never seen one growing in a swamp. In fact, I've never seen one outside, other than in somebody's yard.
Yeah.
You know, and so I'm going to probably invest a little bit of money this year into orchids and different types just to do some experimentation with them. I'll plant a few out at my house and put them under duress conditions and
just fertilize them.
And just fertilize a snot out of them and see if I can get them about 8 feet tall. No. Oh, gosh. But, the interesting part I've found out was that it says the vast majority of them can be found on the sides of trees in tropical forest in the South American Andes and Himalaya Mountains.
That's a strange place.
Yeah, and apparently the moss, or they penetrate the moss, and then they actually penetrate the bark. Their root system penetrates the bark, and
they get the nutrition.
Exactly, from the tree.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they do fine. And I go, okay, man, blows my mind. But growing in the tropical forests, you know, where rainfall exceeds 100 inches a year, has to be excellent, you know, super excellent drainage. I mean, that's all there is to it. So
they'll drown.
We got a break.
Yeah, we do. Oh, you're getting good at this.
I know. I can tell. I've only done it 100 years now.
There you go. couple of minutes. We'll be right back with more Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All righty. Let's roll again. Mike,
we're back. And I've been speaking about orchids, and like I said, I don't know a whole lot about them, but I'm learning and trying to do some additional research so that I can speak intelligently about them in case somebody has a question. And if you do have a question, 673-4464. It doesn't have to be about orchids. It can be about trees, shrubs, planting, the big sale we're having this weekend, whatever.
Let's put a plug in for that.
A plug? Yeah, we're having our annual tree and shrub sale this week. Started Monday, ends Saturday, 9 to 5. Of course, people show up at 7. Good thing I'm there. It's been a wild week. Monday was crazy, and Tuesday was a little less crazy, and Wednesday is almost normal. But usually, and we still got a lot of stuff, in inventory. And if you're wanting a tree or a shrub, come on down, 50% off on the list price. So if it's a $100 tree, it's only a $50 tree. Or if it's a $10 plant, it's only a $5 plant. So
there you go.
And we only take cash or checks, no credit cards, because credit cards like to charge you a little bit extra for the transaction that we have to pay, like 5% or whatever.
Jeez.
Oh, yeah.
That's quite a bit.
It is.
Adds up.
We don't do it. But in Colombia, that's where I got the 3,000 species. Just in Colombia, South America, there's an estimated 3,000 species of orchids. Just in Colombia, you know? I don't know how in the world you can tell the difference in all the 3,000 species. I mean, how they must use, magnifying glasses
or
something.
They had DNA plants.
Yeah, right. Well, this one had 14 red spots, and that one has only 11, so that's a different species. I don't know how
it stands up like this.
Yeah, and instead of going sideways, I don't know. But and on the island of New Guinea, there's even a greater number of species diversity. So these are definitely wet places, but as long as the drainage is good, they go. And like I said, in the book that I was reading about them, a lot of these in those tropical areas, they're growing in the sides of trees. Some, like I say, are even growing in the branch tops, and because of the rain and whatever is sufficient to keep them alive.
Oh my, that's weird.
Yeah, it is. It is very different. And of course, they come in all colors and combinations of colors with spots and stripes and stars and all sorts of patterns. I mean, they're just, some are so blue they look black, and there's oranges and reds. I mean, every color that you can think of in the spectrum. And I don't know how many colors they make anymore, 120 of them or something like that.
They invent one every year.
Yeah, they do. But these orchids are that way. Mm-hmm. And if you can get a book, maybe a sunset book or something like that with color photos in it, it's really an education to look at the different shapes, the sizes, the colors, the styles. And they're nothing about the flower is simple. Some of them Well, I showed you that one. Mm-hmm. It looked like a bird with wings. You know, the top of the flower stem was taller than the flowers, and the flowers mm-hmm. were out to the side.
Is that the one I called a praying
mantis? Yeah, you thought it was a praying mantis. Yeah. Well, it was, you know, I guess if you could say it's a praying mantis, but, you know, it looked like a bird to me, like a chicken or something. But size-wise, they range from, and this is interesting too, from a thimble size plant, you know, the size of a thimble. Jeez. And and to super huge, like you know, a flower can be 8 inches across. Now on these thimble size ones, the flowers are the size of a flea. That's how big the flowers
are.
How
can you see them?
Well, the magnifying glass. That's what you do. And yeah. And then, like I say, the larger ones, are the flowers are eight inches across. I mean, that's
big. That's a good size.
And I'm sure that's more of a tropical thing. I don't know. It might grow in Roseburg. Who knows? But but the bottom line is you can grow them. And you know, spruce up your house. They're good indoor plants. And I know some folks, there's a lady in Roseburg, Elva Sellens is her name, and she, when I was doing her landscaping years ago, she was the president of the, either the Douglas County Orchid Society or the State of Oregon Orchid Society.
Wow.
And we built her, when part of the job was, we had to build her a special raised bed for her orchids. And it was like, oh gosh, 20, 25 feet long and 15 feet wide and 3 feet tall. We had to fill it with really special organic material, organic soil, not just topsoil, but really fluffy, good stuff for good drainage. Yeah. And she grew them back there in her backyard. Huh. And she kept the bulbs. Every year she pulled bulbs or a certain amount of bulbs. I don't know why. I haven't gotten that far in my learning yet. But she boxed them up and put them in her garage for the winter and then replanted them each spring. I mean, that woman worked a lot just on orchids. And but she has some beautiful, beautiful flowers. And you could see them when we had fairs here, when you could actually go to the fair and go into the garden building there, the floral building. Mm-hmm. She had all kinds of displays in there, and, you know, her fellow club members as well. We got a call.
We do have a call.
Okay.
Hi, you're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hi, Mike. This is Jim, and I have a couple of trees that were gifts to us about 3 years ago.
Uh-huh.
A persimmon tree, a fuyu persimmon.
Yeah.
You know, the really nice, crispy, ultra-sweet. We have a nice coastal fig that's supposed to be the right fig for this area.
Uh-huh.
And both of them, we just don't have fruit. The fig set quite a bit of fruit, and it all dropped off before it got ripe. And the persimmon, we've got 4 persimmons that are starting to sort of turn color, and we don't know if they're going to hold on. Any ideas what we're doing?
What kind of soil you got to plant it in?
Oh, you know, it's Roseburg clay.
Uh-huh.
Come on.
Well,
the soil isn't real good. Is it? Do you think maybe it's nutrient or something?
Well, the clay is actually full of nutrients. It's how often have you watered them, for instance?
We've been pretty good about it.
Well, tell me what pretty good is.
Not overwatering, but we've been pretty good about every week giving it some water.
Uh-huh. Now, is that you water once a week or?
Yeah. And not flooding it. I don't know if maybe we should flood it once a week or what we should do next year to try and make it a little better.
Yeah, and how's your fertilizing program? What have you done for fertilization?
Typically I use tree spikes a couple of months before I think the leaves are going to come on, and then 2 more later in the summer.
Okay. Well, you may be overwatering, number one.
Okay.
And the best test of that is to actually, before you go to water it, maybe it's, you know, you won't have to water before June anyway, and you dig down in there to the side of the tree, and just dig down there and see what the moisture level is. Just feel it. If it's damp, it's good. You don't have to water it because further down, like say a foot down or 18 inches down where the roots are, it's even wetter.
Yeah.
And if it's too wet, that kind of stresses it, and some of the roots will rot off, and consequently, the tree's not going to function as it should. So it's better to keep it on the dry side. And the tree spike fertilizer, I'm not really a fan of that. I've tried them out, and I'd rather have
maybe it. Maybe I should go down to that place down across the bridge in Winston and figure out what they have for trees, you think?
Yeah, I think that would be a good place, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll try that before the leaves start to come out this year.
Yeah, come on down about February or so, and we'll fix it up.
Hey, great. Thank you.
Oh, you're sure welcome. Thanks for the call, sir.
Okay, bye.
Thank you. All righty.
I find in clay soils, and I've said this 100 times at least, in clay soils, you know, it'll look dry on top, and it can be June, it can be, you know, 85 degrees, and you go, oh gosh, that tree or that shrub needs some water, and you sock it to it, and and just try to get it really, really wet.
Yeah.
But the problem is, since it doesn't drain, since clay particles are the smallest particles, and they're like plates, they fit together, and the water just doesn't zip through them.
Exactly.
And so consequently, it'll dry out on top. You think, oh gosh, it needs more water again. So you're socking the water to it, but all you're doing, again, is rotting the roots. And if you don't kill the tree, you at least weaken the tree, and it doesn't produce the leaves, it doesn't produce the fruit, and that kind of thing. So it's best to be underwatered. It's kind of like the orchids I was just telling you about that I killed. You don't need to water it all the time. Just kind of watch the tree, get used to the tree. And he mentioned he had tree spikes. Well, you know what those are? They're a spike, and it's a fertilizer thing, and you actually just pound it into the ground beside your trees or shrubs. And I've tried them, and I wanted to see how does it work. Well, it's a half inch in diameter and, you know, a foot, 8 inches to a foot long, and you pop it into the ground. But it seems to me that the roots would have to seek it out and get it. But maybe I'm wrong on that. That's why I like to use the granular fertilizer, and you spread it around the top. And then when you water it in, it goes down evenly into the entire root system, and it's proportioned out. So
sounds good.
That's always the thing.
All right, we got a break here. You ready?
Yeah.
Ready for a break?
Ready for a break.
Couple of minutes, we'll be right back. Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show right here, News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Yeah, hello there again. We're back with Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show at 4:39 on a Wednesday. And Mike, what's up?
Well, if you have a question, 673-4464. And I've been talking about orchids, and I'm learning as I go. And they're quite a wild bunch of flowers. And back in the old days, way back in 1922.
Oh, that is a little.
Yeah, it's old days, man. It seemed that only a few folks had any orchids around anywhere. Hmm. But as these plant scientists that always are messing with plants and stuff and trying to make new ones.
Yeah.
They kept working on orchids and began to become available on the market. All of a sudden, regular folks could buy them because back in the old days, only the very well-to-do folks could afford them because they were a real special flower. And they weren't given or sold or...
To the peons.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't put it that way, but normal people like me. when that happened, homeowners began to plant them in their yards, and they were no longer a rare plant. And so consequently, the nursery industry caught on real quick and started growing these guys, and they've been very popular ever since. And they went from like the greenhouse of the super wealthy to the public. You know, the super wealthy, they had their own walk-in greenhouses and stuff like that, and their gardeners who took care of all that stuff.
Yeah, so they still do.
Well, yeah, I don't know who though. I mean, I don't. But now you can buy them, like I said earlier, at grocery stores. I mean, they're very common. And, of course, the box stores have them, the nurseries have them, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you're like I say, you walk in the Safeway and there's a bunch of orchids there, you go, what are they selling these orchids for? But anyway, orchids, like I said earlier, they like an airy and fresh atmosphere. They actually like cool temperatures. And they don't like being cooped up in those wet, drippy greenhouses with little air circulation. That's what's bad for them. Because a lot of greenhouses, not the super professional type that are, you know, large corporations, but, you know, the average greenhouse that somebody might build in their backyard, and they keep it closed up because they want to keep things warm.
Right.
And they might have a little heater in there.
Uh-huh.
But what they have is a lot of condensation in there, so there's a lot of drippy stuff, and that's what the orchids don't
they
like.
Don't
there's
like
a lot
that.
Of plants that are like that, but the orchids, no. They don't. They
How
like.
How would they do in an apartment setting?
Just well, they do well.
Do they?
They do well, yeah. As long as they have sufficient light, they like light, air circulation is important, and ventilation of some sort, and they seem to do okay.
Hmm. Not necessarily in the bathroom.
Well, not unless you had a big window in the bathroom, and that's usually not the case.
Right.
You know, especially facing the neighbors. But they just don't like to be cooped up in wet, drippy greenhouses, okay? All right. In fact, most tropical orchids, as I said earlier, don't live in the ground. I mean, some do. But in the tropics, they live on the sides of trees. You know, they burrow right into the side of a tree or even on rocks. This one piece of literature said, yeah, they'll actually grow into a rock and the roots will be fine. I don't know. I'd like to see that myself.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, and then some varieties grow, again, in the tops of the trees where the roots run along the bark.
I don't get that. That's
I don't either. Or the roots actually are exposed to the air.
Yeah.
And they catch the water and the nutrition and the nutrients that pass by. And don't call me and ask me how, because I sure don't know. I'm going to try some of this, really.
Yeah, you're going to plant one up in the top.
Yeah, see what happens, you know.
What's
that orchid doing up there? I planted there 4 years ago. It was doing well. But their physical features... like the thick leaves. There are some that have very thick, spongy types of leaves, and they have a lot of water storage capability.
Mm.
And that gives them the ability to store water even during the drought. So you've got, you know, there's some that have very thin leaves, and then there's some that have the larger thick leaves, and they'll store that water in their leaves. So as time goes by, no rain or no water or no nothing, they've got enough to live on, and that's how they get through that.
They adapt to their climate.
Yeah, they have adapted to that, so they're good. But at the same time, they don't like soggy soil. So it's
yeah, it's weird. Strange.
Yeah, they are a strange plant. They're like, they're different.
And
like I said, I was showing you those photos in there, and it's just like, wow, that's a
different
plant.
Different sizes,
yeah,
leaves.
Yeah, and even those tiny, tiny ones where the flowers are the size of a flea.
Yeah.
Huh? How in the heck would you even see it?
I know. You know? That, And
it's
why?
It's full grown at 1.5 inches tall. Yeah,
must
right.
feed the little worms. Or
yeah.
Something.
So, you know, that was my mistake with the water with my new orchid.
And fertilizer.
And the fertilizer. I watered way too much, and it just shut down, baby. She said, hey, I'm playing this game. So you do need a well-lit area and well-ventilated spot in your home for them to flourish. They don't do good in, I don't think they do good in the bathroom, really.
I would think
because it would be too moist,
damp yeah.
And not enough air circulation, that kind of thing. Excuse me. But where I have these, like I say, it's in a window box kind of thing, sitting by the window and facing south, but it only gets about half a day worth of sun, maybe 5 hours, 6 hours, something like that.
Yeah.
And they're doing good. So I'm gonna invest in a few more and see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. And some varieties can survive very cold winter temperatures. And I was talking about those that will, you know, you can find them at up to 14,000 feet in the Himalayas.
Yeah.
Under snow, you know, with snow there.
So and, they'll survive in Alaska, yeah. too, probably.
But most of them really like it in the house, you know, okay?
Yeah.
Indoor lights are a benefit, and the orchids like that. So if you have a little bit of artificial light on them, say you have a corner where you want to put an orchid, and it gets a little bit of light. But if you had an artificial light above it that was on for, you know, 10 hours a day or 9 hours a day, that would probably be sufficient to keep it alive and keep it going and keep it healthy. And
perfect for the apartment dweller who doesn't pay the electricity.
There you go. But the more natural light, the better the blooms in number and longevity of the blooms. Now, as I was telling you earlier, my one that I killed at one time that came back, it's been blooming for months. I mean, at least 4 months, maybe 5 months of this year. And the blooms are still viable. They haven't, and there's been no dead ones that have dropped off. Yeah, I mean, and
it just keeps going and going.
Yeah, it does. And I can't remember even watering it once this year. So
probably
maybe
shouldn't.
Maybe my wife does, but I sure don't. But I think she learned from it too. But you know, water and fertilizer in the right proportions in the right times is important. And you know, like I said, too much of either of it is a killer.
Not a good thing.
No, it's always like I said earlier. I watered mine way too much, so a little bit of both of this stuff goes really a long way. And orchids with largest leaves, like I said, store the water, and they just need very little. You don't have to mess with them. And those with the leaves that are thin, real thin, small leaves, they need more water because there's no storage capacity in the leaf structure. And with good draining potting soil, you can put the flower in the sink and soak it if you have to. And because the potting soil is going to drain very quickly, and they do like bark mulch. They like fine grind bark mulch. I did, you know, and some mix them a little bit of organic.
Well, that makes sense because if they like like trees.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I never thought of that until I read about the trees. I mean, yeah. When I repot mine, and I'm going to do it. When I repot them, I'm going to make sure they're in a pretty good size pot, but I'm going to put some real fine grind old bark mulch in there, and just to see if that improves it, or does it, you know, shut it down, or does it go sideways?
Anything.
Yeah, does it? What is it going to do now? So a year from now, I'll know more about orchids that I can actually say, yeah, you can do this, this, and this, and that's it. Yeah. How it goes.
Cool.
With good drainage, you know, the potting mix, you can put the flower in the sink, as I said, run the water and fill it up, and with good drainage, it's not a problem, because all that water is going to run through. It's just going to leave dampness, and that's fine. And remember, it's the frequency of watering that kills them, and it's not the amount. And that's what, you know, like I say, put them in the sink, let the water run on them, and fill up the pot, let it soak through. Okay, well, you watered it. Well, now you won't have to water it for another month, say. And but if you did that once a week or every other day or something like that, it'd be dead in, you know, 2 weeks
or 20,
well, not 24 hours, but but it would be dead quickly. So just remember that. It's not the amount of the water that kills them. It's the frequency. So you can always add water again, but you can't take it back out. And that's why the drainage is so important in the potting mix and the potting medium that you actually use. Now, you got a call?
No, I'm just waiting for a break.
Is it break time?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, be back with more fertilization.
Yes, fertilizing.
Fertilizing.
Fertilization, fertilizing, fertilizing.
More on the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show, News Radio 1240, KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240, KQEN.
Oh, we do have our fun, don't we?
We do, and good thing the public can't hear us.
That's right. We'd both be out of here.
Yeah, I'm sure. Wouldn't hurt me. I don't get paid for this gig, so what? Okay, I've been
all
talking
right
about the orchids and the fertilizing,
yes,
and the growing. Okay, we're now in the fertilizing thing. It's very important for healthy orchids, you know, just like any plant. But over fertilizer is going to kill a plant just like overwatering. And there are orchid fertilizers on the market, and we've had them in our nursery, and it says this is an orchid fertilizer, and it's got all these special ingredients and da-da-da-da-da. But and I'm sure that it's okay, but as my research pointed out, any well-balanced plant food will work. You just want to make sure that you do a little bit at a time. Apply less than the recommended, the package recommendations, and do it on a regular basis. In other words, you don't want to fertilize it in February and then in July fertilize it again. And say, oh, yeah, and I fertilized in February, now it's July. I better fertilize them again because they're looking bad. No, if you're going to do a little bit of fertilization, like I say, maybe it says do a tablespoon per whatever. Well, do a half a tablespoon, spread it around, but do it every couple of months on a regular basis. Don't let it go through cycles of starvation, or if you will, and getting weak and then building it back up with a big shot of fertilizer. Be consistent in your fertilization. Be consistent in your watering, and you're going to have a better plant. And that applies to everything outside in your yard as well.
Yeah.
And depending on the size of the pot that the plant's in, you can determine how much and how often, because you're watching it. It's right there. You know, it's your prized possession, okay? And you're watching is how is it reacting when you fertilize? Is, are the leaves browning up and falling off? Well, yeah, that's a good indicator that you're feeding it way too much and too hot stuff. But if the plant is healthy and growing well, you may try it, like I say, maybe once a month, maybe every 2 months. Each place is different. Each orchid is different. Each placement of where you have it in your house or on your patio, and then go outside all summer. Some of them, like the snow types, I don't know where you'd buy those, but those that can take the cold weather, maybe they can survive outside as well. So
survive the frost advisory.
Yeah, the frost advisory. We'll see. But watch the plant closely. And like I say, if the leaf tips start turning brown, hey, that's too much or it's too often, one of the two. So cut both. Spread it out. But when you do the spread, if it's, say, every 90 days, make sure it's every 90 days. And then, of course, in the winter, about November, you're gonna cut it off, and you're gonna November, December, or January, and then maybe the end of February, first of March, you're gonna pick it up again. So that's kind of how that goes. And then there are liquid fertilizers that are very fast acting. If it's a little anemic and you put some granular food in there and nothing's happening, well, the next time try a little bit of liquid, you know, Peter's Triple 20 or Miracle-Gro or something like that, just to give it a shot. It's like if you're really hungry and it's 2 hours to dinner and you're a long way away from home, eating a Snickers bar is going to get you home. It's going to pump you up for about an hour, and then you'll crash.
Crash.
But that's how. Excuse me. That's
need
how.
Some water?
You know, yeah, well, I'm out. It won't do any good now. We're almost done.
All right.
You know, I choked to death here, and you just give me water at the end. But. But watch them, and you know, each home, of course, has a different environment inside. So, the watering and the fertilizing is going to differ from place to place. And say you got a good friend that has a beautiful batch of orchids, and they're all doing well, and they tell you, well, I do this once a week, and I do this other once a month, and I do this every 3 months. You can try that, but if they have, say, bigger windows and more light coming into where their orchids are in you know, on the windowsills or in a window box or something like that, and your house is a little darker or doesn't have as large windows and the amount of light is, and maybe there's a lot of shade trees around, there's going to be a difference in the growth pattern. So to just repeat what your friend who's a success with orchids does may not work for you, so you may have to
make an adjustment.
It's like, you know, some kids eat a lot, some kids eat a little, but they both grow up. You know, so that's the kind of thing. So if you want to grow orchids, start small. Don't go over your head and spend $500 on orchids and get them going. Learn what the plants need, you know, observe them, pay attention to them. And as you gain experience in growing the orchids, you can expand the herd if you want, okay? But and I'm sure there are differences in growing patterns with different types of orchids. So until you become a real expert at them, you might want to stick with the same style, not exactly the same color, but the same kind of
breed. So
yeah,
to speak.
Yeah. And there are so many different types out there now. It's just.
Would you say over 3,000?
Yeah, there was, in one area there was 3,000, but there's 25,000 species worldwide.
Wow.
Yeah, and so
that's too many. Well,
yeah.
Man, so, it's never too many.
But. Well, maybe who's going to take care of them though?
True.
But they are fairly expensive, and you can't afford to kill too many all at once. And that's, you know, if you're going to kill some, just kill one at a time. Learn what you did wrong.
Take it easy on them.
And so the next one you buy is going to be a survivor. So that's all I have to say about that.
So your sale's going on until when?
Saturday. Saturday at 5 o'clock. Well, the sale will be over. And 50% off on all outside plants.
All right. Is that Halloween Saturday or is it next Saturday?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't trick-or-treat anymore.
I don't either. All righty. We're done. We'll see you next week.
Okay. I hope. Yep, I do.
All right. Don't forget to vote.
No. Don't forget to vote. And you know who to vote for if you listen to me.